Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Supreme Court Justice Alito warns about discriminating against religious beliefs. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead.
You know, Matt, I really appreciate Justice Samuel Alito because he, in this case particularly, took the opportunity, even though the high court declined to hear this particular case, he took the opportunity to issue a five-page statement regarding and warning about discrimination on religious freedom.
Yeah, this case is called Missouri Department of Corrections versus Gene Finney. It's an employment discrimination case involving Gene Finney, a former corrections officer who self-identifies as a lesbian and claims she was fired from her position for presenting as masculine. But the case actually involves two potential jurors who were dismissed from hearing the case for having biblical views that homosexual conduct is sinful.
So it's not really, the issue is not really bottom line about the jurors, but it's a religious freedom issue here.
It is. So in this case, the Supreme Court declined to take the case. And Samuel Alito wrote a five-page statement, reluctantly agreeing not to hear the case because of a procedural issue that was made down below. Yet, however, he used the time to warn that this discrimination poses a danger to religious freedom.
So it sounds like he wished they should have taken it.
He would have agreed to take the case had there not been this procedural glitch below. Because what was below is there was some procedural matter that was missed by the litigants down below, and it wasn't properly preserved or timely preserved for the Supreme Court to review it. Had it been timely reserved, this case would likely have garnered the attention of the justices. It certainly gave Justice Samuel Alito pause, and that's why he wrote the statement. So what is it about that actually Samuel Alito is warning about? So in this case, he reasoned that when a lower court upheld the juror's dismissal, it was a statement saying a person with traditional religious views is presumptively unfit to serve as a juror in a case involving a homosexual. So Alito wrote, quote, "The lower court concluded that the jurors had been dismissed, not on the basis of their religious status, but on the basis of their religious beliefs. And this distinction," it said, "made all the difference because, in its view, while dismissals based on a juror's status as Christians must comport with strict scrutiny, dismissals based on a juror's views need not." Close
yeah,
quote.
That's a powerful statement. He also went on to say that he had anticipated a situation like this in his dissenting opinion in the 2015 Obergefell decision. And he wrote in this one, "This holding exemplifies the danger that I anticipated in Obergefell versus Hodges, namely that Americans who do not hide their adherence to traditional religious beliefs about homosexual conduct will be labeled as bigots and treated as such by the government. The opinion of the court in that case made it clear that the decision should not be used in that way, but I am afraid that this admonition is not being heeded by our society."
Yeah, and he warned about that clearly in his dissent in Obergefell, that there were going to be people that would be discriminated against because of their religious beliefs, particularly on this issue of marriage or same-sex issues.
He says
this is exactly what happened here.
Yeah, just like in our case with Kim Davis.
Yeah,
That's what happened.
Kim Davis was the very first example of the problem with Obergefell because it came down at the end of June 2015. In July of 2015, just a few days later, she was targeted by individuals who wanted to have her name, her title, her authority stamped on, affixed to, supporting, and affirming a same-sex marriage license.
But not on the basis of her religious status, but on the basis of her religious beliefs.
Right. And she had a belief that, you know, is part of human history for millennia, that marriage is the union of a man and a woman. And so she had become targeted. She actually spent 6 days in jail over this Obergefell situation. So here's how this case actually developed. So the actual issue is this employment discrimination claim. But during the jury selection, Finney's attorney, this is the person who brought the lawsuit, who was the former corrections officer. So that person's attorney asked all the potential jurors what he called was a, quote, tricky question about whether any of them went to a conservative Christian church, that's his words, that teaches homosexuals should have the same rights, should not have the same rights as everyone else because of what they did was a sin. And so if, you know, in this case, there were two jurors, one of them was a pastor's wife, and they both said the same thing. Well, they believe that homosexuality is a sin, but they also believe there's a lot of other sins, gossiping, other mm-hmm. kinds of sins. We're all sinners, they said. They both said the same thing. We're all sinners.
Right.
We're all in need of grace. Because I have this view does not mean that I cannot be impartial right. to this particular case. It's not going to affect me from being impartial. So Finney's lawyer moved to have these two people removed from the jury pool because of their religious beliefs. And their removal was challenged, and the lower courts upheld their removal. And they ended up saying that, well, there's a difference between status. If you're discriminated on the basis of status, well, that's one thing. But if you're discriminated against on the basis of your beliefs, well, that's not a problem. So if you believe that homosexuality is wrong, then you can be excluded from any of these juries. And it's simply based upon your belief, even though you say, look, I can be impartial. It really makes no sense to single out religion this way, because if you were to impanel a jury that's regarding a murder trial, and you were to ask them, do you believe that murder is a sin? I can't imagine very many people would say, well, no, I don't believe it's a sin. I imagine they would all say, yeah, I think it's a sin. It's wrong. It's reprehensible. Okay, well, then none of you can serve on this jury because this case involves a murder trial. Do you believe that stealing is a sin? Do you believe that it is wrong? Well, yeah, I believe stealing is a sin. I believe it's wrong. Well, then none of you can sit and be jurors on this trial because it involves embezzlement or stealing or theft or whatever it might be. It makes no sense.
Right, and he concluded in his statement that jurors are duty-bound to decide cases based on the law and the evidence, and a juror who cannot carry out that duty may properly be excused. But otherwise, I see no basis for dismissing a juror for cause based on religious beliefs.
Yeah, and Finney's attorney down below argued the jurors could not fairly apply the law and decide a case involving a homosexual person. The trial judge in Missouri decided to err on the side of caution and granted the motion to dismiss the jurors. Ultimately, the final jury selection, the final jury selected, sided with Finney on her sexual discrimination and hostile work environment claims, awarding her $275,000 in damages. But the Missouri Supreme Court in SCOTUS declined to hear the case because the Missouri Department of Corrections, and this is the procedural problem, did not properly preserve an objection to the juror's dismissal. So when a juror gets dismissed like that, the attorneys, if they have a basis for objecting, they need to raise the objection now. And this is pretty clear throughout anything. If you've got evidence that's coming in during a trial and it is improper, you need to raise the objection now to preserve it for later, even if it's overruled. You need to actually raise it. And the reason why is because if you don't raise it, essentially you're having the upper courts, the appeals courts, second-guessing a decision that the lower court never even ruled on. And so that's why, in this case, the procedural matter was problematic for them to take the case because there was no objection timely made regarding the dismissal of those jurors. In this case, however, I think the issue that is very important is Alito's warning. This case mm-hmm. didn't get any publicity, and the reason is that because it was not a case to be reviewed. But the statement of Alito is critical.
Powerful. Yeah.
And I think it really zeroes in on the problem with Obergefell versus Hodges, the 2015 so-called same-sex marriage opinion. In our case, Kim Davis is going to zero and is zeroing in on that very same issue. Pray for our Kim Davis case. It's still going through the courts and then eventually through the courts of appeal and back to the U.S. Supreme Court on this very issue, eventually asking the High Court to overturn this wrongly decided Obergefell decision. For more information, lc.org/Kim.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org.